Welkom in die Vader se huis vanoggend. Lekker om so baie van julle te sien. We've only got one service from this time onwards, up until the school starts again. So we're going to have just our sermons in English, so that our English people can also be here and be part of the family, because our English service is not happening through the holidays. Maar ek sal maar so gooi tussenin vir die van julle wat dink. Julle is welkom om vir julle 'n kalender te kry daar agter. Ons het baie geprint. Vat asseblief net een per familie, okay? So moet nou nie een vir elke kind se kamer vat nie, dan het ons nou nie genoeg nie. Alraight. We had a little bit of a mix up with our photo that we did so much effort with. So I'm sorry if you didn't make the calendar head. Well done to you that did. That was the photos that we had on short notice, so that we can have it ready for you guys. So anyway, but please take a calendar, then you'll know what happens throughout the year next year. Julle is baie welkom om daai te doen. And then we don't have any children's church, but there's going to be people there that looks after the kids through the holidays. I want to give the children's church people off also. They are some of the people in church that works the hardest. I want them not to be here, or when they are here, to be in church. So please bring your kids. There's going to be people that look after them, and they're going to watch some movies and stuff, which is also okay. All right. So just so that you guys know through the holidays. And then we've got a prayer walk on the 12th of December. This is this Wednesday. And Anina is here, so come. So we're just going to walk the streets. It's not something heavy. You can just pray as the Lord leads you while you are walking with people. And Nina gaan net gou vir ons 'n testimony deel oor dit.
Hoor julle? Ek wil net graag my eie gevoel oor die prayer walk gee. Is dit vir my absoluut amazing geweest? Want ek kon saam met myself familie loop en saam met hulle leer en kyk hoe doen hulle dit. En dit is klaar 'n atmosfeer waar jy gemaklik voel en wat jy kan vra. En jy warfare saam met hulle en jy sien die Here move en jy kan net bless soos wat jy gaan. En die belangrikste vir my is ek wil graag dit vir Helene leer. Ek wil hê sy moet sien dit is hoe jy bid vir mense en dit is hoe jy saam met dit met maatjies doen. En dat as sy enig groot genoeg is, sy saam met haar maatjies kan stap in 'n parkie en bid of in die skool bid en daai tipe van goedjies doen. So ek wil julle aanmoedig om Woensdag julle tekkies lekker vas te strap en saam met ons te kom bid en net sien hoe die Here in Mamas Prime move.
Amen. Hallelujah. So if you want to join us, ja, kom ons gee lekker 'n klap. Sy het die effort gemaak om vir ons te kom deel. So if you want to join us for the prayer walk, you are very welcome to do so, even if you are not in a small group. Give your names up there at the info desk at the back, or pop us a message or send us a mail, and then we can start you in with some of the other groups that you can walk with. And that's how you learn, like she says. You know, intercession is sometimes this big thing that we don't want to do. And how I got, you know, into intercession was just going to the places where people were praying. And then, you know, I wasn't going to pray anything, because I pray stupid prayers. I'm not going to pray stupid prayers. I'll just listen. But what happens then is as other people are praying, then you start to hear stuff. You know, you kind of feel this urge, I want to pray for this guy, or for I want to pray for this. And then all of a sudden somebody else starts to pray for that. And you're like, hey, ek hoor ook hierdie stem. I can also hear God's voice. And that's how you start to grow in confidence, just in hearing God's voice and praying, because that's what intercession is. It's just taking God's hand and taking somebody else's hand and then connecting it. That's actually what you do. That's what intercession is. It's standing in the gap. Standing in the gap for our, you know, our places of stay, for our families. And that's what we do. So please come and join us. It's going to be 6 o'clock on Wednesday. And then we're going to walk around and we're just going to pray and bless. That's what Jesus says. Just bless your town. So you don't have to pray deep prayers. You say, God, I just bless this house in Jesus' name with joy and with peace. Then you're doing warfare. You are praying. Okay, so please come and do that with us. That will be great. And then I want the JP Vasie copies now, man. Anyway, yay! Jonathan's copies are. Okay. So if you are here for the first time, as if ons eerste keer ontmoet, ons wil graag, want ons het nou krag. So ons kan veel koffie gee aan die einde. Okay, so we want to give you a free cappuccino. So please just let somebody know there around to you. If you know there's somebody that's new that's too shy to put up their hands, dan wys hulle net, dan gee hulle gou vir hulle 'n koppie. Julle is welkom as julle wil om daai kaartjie in te vul wat daarop is. When you fill in the card, then we can contact you in the week if you want more information about the church. Okay. So, great stuff. And that is that. Ek het dit alles gedoen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word, Lord, this morning. God, thank you that just through worship, God, I can just know and see and feel, oh God, that you are at work already. Father, and thank you that every person that is here, God, didn't come, Lord, just for nothing. And God, that you want to just speak into our hearts this morning, God. And I pray, Lord, that that will be so, God, that you will open up our hearts and our minds, God, so that we can receive. Holy Spirit, I also that whatever people need to hear this morning, God, that you will translate, Lord God, that you will bring into hearts, oh God, what needs to be heard. In Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for your word, and we just come humbly, Lord God, to it, and we say thank you that you've given us your living word so that we can see, so that we can learn, and so that you can transform us, God, into your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so okay, good. Let me. All right, let's worship the Lord without giving, please. So if you are here for the first time, don't feel pressured to give, but if you want to worship the Lord, then Tess, jy weet die stoele breek, ou. Jy is al lank al hier so. Please sit nice and still. All right, so yeah. Okay, so so if you feel led, we need some new chairs. But for that, we need a lot of money. So if you anyway, that's not a grappie. That is a joke. Okay? If you want to worship the Lord, in all honesty, just worship the Lord with your finances, because God gives you everything anyway. So please do that. And as you give into this house, we trust the Lord that He multiplies it into His kingdom so that His kingdom can come in people's lives. So thank you so much for those of you that faithfully give into our ministry and into the church. It is really humbling to be part of you guys. Dankie Nelia dat jy vir my onthou het, hoor. Ek waardeer. Wat sê jy, Flo? Dankie Ters dat die kerk wakker is. Dis reg so. Klap hom sommer Ters. Klap hom. Wat sê hy weet, kyk, hy sit teen die pilaar. Hy loop sit teen die pilaar. Ja, ja, die groot manne sit in die pilare, oralster. Okay, great. Alle grappies op 'n stokkie. Kom ons lees die woord van die Here. Ons gaan nou this morning I want to share a word with you that that is kind of in a certain way it's repetitive, because it's something that is constantly happening. It's constantly in our lives because we are Christians. Okay? Because we serve God, this is one of those things that will continuously be in our life, okay? So, there's a constant battle for authority in general. Constant battle for authority in our lives, constant battle for authority everywhere. And it's not new, okay? It's not new. It started all the way back in Genesis. So, if you guys can just read with me there in Genesis 1, from verse 26, it says there that, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion, authority, over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds and of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Okay, so God starts off and he gives us dominion. He gives us authority. So we have authority. And, or we had it, at least. And that is the thing, you know, God is What I love about the Bible, God is the same, you know, always. In Romans 11, God says that the calling and the gifts of God are irrevocable. When God has done something, when He has given, then He's done so. So God is true to His word in that way that He gives authority in this case. He gave it to man, He gave it to Adam, and we were supposed to rule the world. Anyway, I'm not going to go into the whole story from there onwards. So then we move a little bit to the middle of the Bible, there where Jesus was in the Gospels. We go to the Gospel of Luke. Okay, so now Jesus is born. Jesus is starting His ministry. He's just been baptized. And now he's 40 days into the wilderness. And 40 days into the wilderness, the devil comes to him and he tempts him. Okay? And verse 5 says, Dankie my waterdraer. Waardeer dit. So, Luke 4 verse 5 says, And the devil took him and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Why did the devil do that? Because he showed Jesus the authority that he had, because it was his. Adam gave it away to the devil. And in a moment of time, Satan comes to Jesus. Now, remember, this is a temptation. What was the greatest temptation that Jesus could go to? Getting what he came to do for, or getting what God sent him to do here, in a way that wouldn't cost him anything. That must have been a massive temptation, people. Everything, all of these authorities, principalities and things, Satan comes and he tempts Jesus with that. He says, listen, I'll give this to you, man. You don't have to go through all the suffering and the pain and stuff. I'll just give it to you. All you must do is you must just worship me. Okay, obviously. And then Jesus said, no. You will worship the Lord your God alone. But the reason that the devil could do this was because he truly had the authority. He truly had the authority to do that. And it was a great temptation for Jesus because Jesus came to take back that authority. That was what he was sent to do. To take back the authority and everything that was lost from the devil. And here the devil comes and he gives it to him on a silver platter. But Jesus didn't fall. Hallelujah for that. Okay? And Jesus answered him and said, It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Sorry, I didn't. Verse 6 says, And then he said to him, To you I will give all this authority and the glory of it, for it has been delivered to me. Who delivered it to him? Not God. Adam delivered it to him. And I will give it to whomever I will. And Jesus didn't go against him. Jesus just said to him, It is written. Because Jesus knew he wasn't lying. The authority was truly his. So the fight always, from the beginning of this world, is about authority. Who has authority? And that is what Satan wanted to do. He wanted to tempt Jesus to come and so that he can have ultimate authority, you know, in everything. But Jesus didn't fall. And then Matthew 28, just as Jesus has done everything that's necessary, he's done it God's way, lay down himself, Matthew 28, 18, and Jesus came to them, his disciples, and he said, All authority. Say that. All authority. Hallelujah. All authority. Where? In heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always until the end of the age. Okay. So that's just a crash course on authority. Something that was lost, Jesus took it back, and then Jesus went up, and through his Holy Spirit and us coming into relationship with him, he says, All authority has been given unto me. Now you go. And him giving us back, sharing that authority with us through his Spirit, and ruling and reigning with him here where we are in this in-between space. In-between space is the already but not yet time that we are living in. Christ has already conquered all, but it is not yet the fulfillment of everything. This earth reigns that we are working in. Okay, so we are God's ambassadors. We represent him on earth. We have his Spirit inside of us. So one thing that Satan does not want us to have is to know and to believe in that authority that we've got. And Satan goes through extraordinary lengths in our lives to make us believe. Because the authority is real. It has been given. But Satan wants us to start to believe that we do not walk and do not have that authority anymore. He wants to push us out of that place of authority. If he can get you to a place where you start to think, maybe not, then he's won. Now, how does he do that? Things that I experience a lot. And not just me. I mean, anybody that is truly gospel-centered, Jesus-centered, preaching the gospel, living out the life of Christ, you will have this because Jesus says, in this life, you will have persecution. Where do you think that comes from? Not from God. It comes from the devil. The persecution and the stuff. Or people that are motivated by the devil to do these things. Okay, so in this world, you will have persecution if you follow Christ. So if there's light inside of you, the one thing that Satan wants to do, he wants to just diminish that light. Put it out. Now the story I want to I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to talk a little bit through it because it's a long story. And it's a story of in 1 Kings 18 and 19, the story of Ahab and Jezebel. But the one thing that Satan does is, he comes and through intimidation, manipulation, and fear, he wants to push us away out of that place of authority. And I'll show it to you while talking to you. You can go and read. Go and read. That's your homework. Go and read 1 Kings 18 and 19 this afternoon or this week somewhere. And then just ask God to reveal to you. We know we speak a lot about Jezebelic stuff and then we put the woman thing to that because the lady in the story is a woman. But there's no gender with demons, okay? They're all male. So even though it's a woman that we see the story unfolding around and we call it that spirit, but it's not gender specific. Sometimes, you know, we tend to throw a big blanket over that, and whenever there's a strong personality woman, then it's like, hey, oh, Jezebel, yeah. Anyway, okay, so not none of that this morning, okay? So it's a spirit, and all of us fall under the sway of the spirit because what that spirit does is intimidate, manipulate, and bring fear. So whenever you start to access that place, you know, to get something done, you either intimidate or you manipulate or you bring fear, you are partnering with a spirit which is not the Holy Spirit. And a year or so ago when I preached on this again, the one story that is really just explaining this a lot is when Danielle just read it somewhere in the newspapers, okay, that's fine, I cannot the story tell. He called me. So there's this lady, she goes to Tiger Valley, to Woolies. She's got three kids, and she's alone. Dad is not there. And one of the most stressful things in these days to do as a parent is to go to a mall with your kids. You guys take trolleys for, like, stuff to put in that you buy. We take trolleys so that we can keep the children contained. Okay, that's what we do with trolleys when you've got kids like we do. But anyway, so because of that place of helplessness and not having true authority, she says to her kids, while they are in that trolley, while they go into the Woolies, they say, in this Woolies, this one, look around, in this Woolies, kids were stolen just last week. So stay in the trolley. Now what did she do? Because of her inability to have true authority over her kids, she accessed fear, manipulation,
It's the spirit and it's powerful. It's Jezebelic. So whenever we access that place of using something to manipulate and to get your way.
I know. It's for all of us. Everybody's smiling. They're like,
But it's something that we need to see because you know what? A Jezebelic spirit is something that is patient. That is what I found. And not kind.
If you go on with the scripture.
That spirit will be knocking at your door, knocking at your door, knocking at your door until an opportune time.
That's why I'm preaching about it today. Again. Okay, so.
And the reason I'm saying this is in this story, just before the story, Elijah has got one massive victory. Massive, huge. He put to the sword all of the Baal prophets. He single-handedly uprooted idol worship with the Lord's help. And then right after that massive victory, this happens. This one lady comes to him, sends him a message. Not even face to face. Sends him a message, says, hey, if I don't do to you tomorrow this time like you did to the Baal prophets, whatever she said after that. And what does he do? He runs away. Far away. And he's depressed. So, let's just put it out there. 2018 was a tough year, but when I look on over you guys, there was a lot of massive victories that happened in our church, in your lives, in this year. But what I found is that at the end of this year, this spirit knocking, 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 after all of the victories, some of us has fallen for this age-old trick of intimidation, fear, and manipulation that has pressed us out of that place of what? Authority. Elijah had massive authority. He said, God, bring your fire. Imagine that. Some of you are like, yeah, Jesus, give me that power. There's some people I want the fire to fall on. Kill them. No.
So, while we're doing warfare around town this last one, it was so great. Thanks, guys, for praying. It's so awesome to me, especially this morning, to see that whole room filled with people praying. It stirs me. It's amazing. Thank you for coming. Thank you for praying because God is really doing something. At the end of this year, usually, you know, I'm kind of like also tired. I'm tired still, but I'm excited. Excited for what God is doing. Excited for what God has already started to do even this side of the new year, okay? So, while we were praying, you know, God gave us some revelation, and I'm just going to build you a picture about what I feel God is saying in this time, especially regarding this thing and being pushed out of authority and stuff. So here's my question to you. If somebody comes in that door and you don't know him, and that person says to you, Deval, whatever, bad things, how will you respond to that? Well, depending on your personality, obviously. Well, the vast personality, ach man, yay man, Han, up yours. I don't know you. Why do you come to me and speak to me like this? I don't know you. So I'm not going to take it to heart, but know what? When my wife comes through the door of the room and she says something to me, maybe she's mad at me or something. You know what? Those things, they come close. Why? Because I know her. She knows me. There's a familiarity there. There's this place of I know you, and that's why it comes close to me. Now, Satan knows that too. And he's more sly than we think. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your stuff. He knows your victories especially. And when you have had a victory, then he will come to you when the time is right. Like it said there, after Jesus was tempted and he left him, then he said, and he left Jesus until an opportune time. He was going to come back, man.
at an opportune time to do what? To destroy him. He's still the same. He wants to come back at an opportune time to get you down in the dumps, to get you away from that place of authority, to put you into shame and condemnation. Anyway, and a lot of other stuff. So, while we were praying, this is one of the scriptures that just stood out to me last week when we prayed. 2 Chronicles 32 verse 15. Now this story is Hezekiah was in Jerusalem and you know, he was being attacked by other kings, foreign nations, right? Now, this is the story. Now, therefore, do not let Hezekiah deceive you or mislead you in this fashion. And do not, so this is that other king now speaking, you know, saying to them a lot of stuff. And do not believe him, for no god of any nation or any kingdom has been able to deliver his people from my hand or from the hand of my fathers. How much less will your God deliver you out of my hand? And his servant said still more against the Lord God and against the servant, his servant Hezekiah. And he wrote letters to cast contempt on the Lord and God of Israel, and the God of Israel, and to speak against him, saying, like the gods of the nations and of the hands of those who have not delivered their people from my hand, so the God of Hezekiah will not deliver his people from my hand. And then this little scripture here. Now this is a foreign king coming to attack the people in Jerusalem to destroy them. And then we find this scripture in verse 18. It says, and they shouted it with a loud voice in what? In the language of Judah to the people of Jerusalem who were on the wall to frighten and to terrify them in order that they might take the city. So this king comes and he fights against, he wants to break down the walls. And it's so great for me, he shouted it out to those people who are on the walls. We are the watchman on the wall. We are praying. We are in that place of authority. God has given us that place of being a watchman on the wall. Now, they're coming and they want to tear it down. They want to break it down. And he's in that place speaking in the language of Judah. So they can understand. And God is starting to speak to me, Deval. He says, Deval, that is the tactic of Satan when it comes to this. He speaks to you from that place of familiarity, something that you know. Something that you've been, you know, introduced to. It's not just a foreign thing that comes to you. But that thing comes in a way that you think, hey, this is actually quite nice. I know this. Now, I spoke to one of my friends in this year, and it was a great revelation to me, and this is why God has just dismantled through this year the assignment of condemnation and shame that was on me. So what Satan does is, let's take Deval's example. So Deval has got a history where God has delivered him from lust and pornography and all that stuff, okay? So Satan knows that. That's my weakness. So he knows that, and then we fight this battle, and I've got victory over this battle. Now Satan comes to me and says, okay, that's not working anymore. But now what happens is, when I walk through town, you know, as a man, you see women. This is how God has wired us. So now you walk past, and as you see this woman, then you look and I'm away and I'm like, oh, ek mag nie kykie. Okay? And I didn't. So you see sometimes, but seeing is one thing, looking back to see is the problem. And I knew that. But now I got stuck in a place where Satan started to whisper into my ear, you're not even supposed to see. First time around. And then after that thought is planted in my head, then I'm like, did I now look or didn't I look? Or did I look? And then he changes tack and he starts to condemn me. He says, you useless thing. You thought you had victory over this thing. But look at you. And then I'm, oh. Okay, maybe I was wrong. Maybe I did look. And it was an insane place where I've been at. Until October when God delivered me from that. To take condemnation and shame, but God just exposed this thing, even in my life, how Satan comes and he wants to push me out of my authority using familiar language. Because whenever he comes against me with lustful stuff, you know, I know that. I've been there. So the voices that I hear, it's familiar voices. It's something that I fought before. It's something that has come up before. So I don't know what your issues are. I don't know where Satan is pointing his finger in your life now. But it will be familiar stuff. Then, just a random scripture that I was reading and thought about while we were praying. So, whenever Satan comes against our walls, now this is way out of context. I know, but I want you just to do what this lady did, okay? Judges 9:50 to 53. Then Abimelech went to Thebes and encamped against Thebes and captured it. But there was a strong tower within that city, and all the men and the women and all the leaders of that city fled to it and shut themselves in. And they went up to the roof of the tower. Then Abimelech came to the tower. And he fought against it, and he drew near to it, to the door of the tower, and to burn it with fire. And then a certain woman threw an upper millstone on Abimelech's head and crushed his skull. So whenever the enemy comes in, and he comes against your tower, the fortress that you've built, the place where you are standing, you are a watchman on the wall. Sometimes because it's so familiar, and it comes so close to us, you know, coming to fight right here at my gates. Now I'm getting all shaky. And what Satan does is pushes us out of that authority, and then we become paralyzed. We kind of walk away through fear, intimidation. What I want to encourage you with is, you know what? You've got a millstone somewhere on top of that tower of yours. Just drop it. Just drop it on the head of that thing that is here. Just drop it. Don't be shy. Don't be afraid. Don't think, yeah, I can't do this. You know what? I don't know how big is the millstone. And I don't know how much effort it took that lady to pick up that millstone to drop it over the wall. But it made history. It's in the books. And she crushed the skull of that guy that wanted to break down the tower. What are the voices that are speaking to you? That are familiar, that you've beaten before, that you've seen before? What are they whispering in your ear? What are they bringing to you? Saying this and this and this and this. So, as I finish this morning, whenever God gives us new ground, or you know, we take new ground. And a couple of men's breakfasts back, it was one of the things that I read that was so great. You know what? Perseverance, the word, is symbolized like a soldier standing with his shield and his sword in this position after taking some ground. That is what perseverance is. So if you've been here, God has delivered you, he's done a mighty work in your life. Now you are here. You persevere. Through that, because you know an onslaught is coming. Because you have taken ground. Whenever things are just too cool for comfort, or whatever in my life, I've made history again on Facebook this week, but that's great. Then I know we are taking ground. We are taking ground because everything is coming and trying to push us back. But we need to persevere. You need to stand in that place which God has given you. Whenever you retreat, you give up ground, man. Don't do that. Giving up ground is effort to get it back. So just stand in the place where God has given you to be there. And that's all you need to do. You need to stand. Literally. Just stand in the place that God has given you. Ephesians 6 verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. And put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand firm, stand therefore, and then you gird yourself with the armor of God, putting on everything. From the helmet right through to the word and the spirit, and be girded, be fully armed, and stand. Stand in that place where God has placed you. Because Satan also comes and he wants to remove you from that place of standing. 2 Corinthians 10:3 to 5 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but of divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every high, lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." Where does it start here? It starts with a thought. And that thought, if you don't take it captive and submit it to Christ, literally, it becomes something that is raised up against the knowledge of God. And it becomes a stronghold, ultimately. That's why God says, this is how you fight it. You fight it when the thought comes. Then you take it captive and you say, this is not of God and I submit it to Christ. Because Christ says, like the word. You take the word and you speak it. And if you have been through familiar voices and you've been through things that God has just ripped you out of, you should know scripture regarding that thing. So don't think when these things come again that, oh, you know, I wasn't really delivered from them. You were. Don't think that the scriptures and the stuff that you know don't work. They do. You need to drop the millstone. You need to drop it on the head of that thing that is in your face. Because when we stand in authority, you know what? We speak the word of God. When we are pushed out of the place of authority, you know what we speak? We speak fear. We speak lies to ourselves and to other people. And God says, hey, come here. I have given you my spirit. I have given you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. It's an active tense. You can trample on serpents and scorpions continuously because God has given us the authority to do so. So let's not fall into that place, especially now, especially before our holiday, especially when we go into this place of rest. Satan wants to bring this against us because he wants us to fall way back there. And then next year we come back and say, oh, I need to repent. No, stand your ground. Stand in that place of authority that God has given you. Stand in that place where God has delivered you from. And be bold. Even though you don't feel like you are bold. You don't feel like doing anything. Because that is what this place of being out of authority brings to us. But here's some good news. It's not dependent upon you. It's dependent upon God's Spirit that is inside of you and His Word inside of you. All you need to do is you need to stand in that place and speak. That is your millstones, people. The Word and the Spirit, those are our offensive weapons. You need to speak the Word of God. You need to speak the victory that you have had already. Especially in this time, because the voices coming against us are familiar stuff, people. You know them. Don't fall for them. Especially now. I'm so excited about what God is going to do next year, because when I look at us, we are in a different space than we've been a year ago. God has increased our authority in this region of ours, and Satan doesn't like it. God wants us to remain there. So don't fall for these things. Let us stand together this morning.